seemed to get a little more frightened as they got closer and closer to his brothers, because he knew what would happen if they saw him. But the little shadow knew he had had all that he could take of the way they had treated him. Because many years ago, he wanted to tell the sheriff what was happening about the way they stole cattle and so forth. The shadow was telling them that the brothers were stealing cattle and so forth, and they threatened him that he would never leave the house alive if he did so. That evening, when they made camp, Tom climbed way up on the mountain peak, and sure enough, just as he suspected, far in the distance he saw smoke rising. He came back down. He said, "Well, Prince Ahmed," he says, "I think we found him." He says, "They're not too far away." He says, "We'll wait until morning." He says, "We'll get up before dawn. We'll surround their camp. And before they know what's going on," he says, "we'll have the Palomino ponies." The shadows were quite intelligent also. They knew they were just hours away from the Indian camp. One of the shadows had also spotted Tom and his party. They didn't know what to do about it. They were talking. He says, "What are we going to do about them?" He said, "There must be a dozen of them." He said, "We can't fight them off." He says, "Well," I says, "I think I need to go see the chief. As we go through the canyon," he says, "suppose one of the deals we make with the chief that when a party led by a man on a big white horse comes through the canyon, that there are to be no survivors." The shadows smiled at each other. He says, "Very good, very good." He says, "I'll ride on ahead and I'll make a deal with the chief." So he got on his horse and headed for the chief's village. He went through this narrow passageway, which was just wide enough for one column to go through. He looked up at the peaks, and he thought this would be the perfect place when Tom and his men came through to get rid of him. When he approached the chief came out of his teepee, and he jumped off. He says, "Chief," he says, "we make big deal, no? You bring Palomino ponies, me make, like you say, big deal." "So there's one more thing," he said. "There's going to be somebody after us," he says, "that I want to take the Palomino ponies away." He says, "When they come through the narrow passage," he says, "you must get rid of them." "Very well. My warriors will take care of that." He says, "All right. We're going to go get the Palomino ponies. We'll be back and we'll make the deal." He says, "Where's the furs and the gold and the land? We will have it ready when you come back." So the shadow left. When he got back to his camp, he had told the others what had happened. There were three of them. They all laughed. They all took a drink. They said, "This is going to be the biggest day of our lives. Finally." Little did they know that Tom and his party were at the foothills now. Tom was saying, "I'll go around the back. The rest of you stay here. Leave the horses here." Tom started around the back, and as he looked down to the foothills, he saw three horses. And he wondered, "Where are the Palomino ponies? They must be somewhere else." He took the bridle off the horses, took the saddles off, and hit the horse. He said, "Hey, get out of here, hush." And the horses ran off. Finally, in the distance, around a big rock, he saw two more horses, the Palomino ponies. There was a burst of gunfire. Tom didn't expect it so soon. He climbed up on the rock and he noticed that the shadows had spotted them, and there was gunfire back and forth. Finally, when the sixth shadow realized that things were getting too much for them, he says, "Quick," he says, "to your horses." He says, "Head for the Indian village." He says, "That's the only place we can be saved now." So what about the Palomino ponies? He said, "Never mind that now." They started down the mountainside and they realized their horses were gone. "Our horses, they're gone." He says, "Over there." He said, "Take their horses." And the sixth shadow jumped on the big white horse. He says, "Come on, follow me." And they started to run as fast as they could go on their horses. Tom yelled, "Hold your fire." He says, "Who started shooting so fast?" says, let's get after them. Prince Amis says, they took your horse, Tom. He says, well, he said, we're going to track them. He said, we'll have to keep tracking them. The three shadows were riding hard. And finally, when they came to the canyon, they knew the only place they would be safe would be inside the Indian village. But the chief was waiting with his warriors, and he saw the party coming, the one riding the big white horse. The chief looked, says, when big white horse come into canyon, we must have him scalped. They looked back and saw Tom and the rest of them coming, following, and they were riding hard. He says, come on, he says, we're at the passageway almost. They started through the passageway, and finally when the sixth shadow looked up, it was too late. He saw the Indians with their bows and arrows drawn. He knew what he had done. No! No! There was a burst of arrows flying through the air, and finally there were three shadows dead on the canyon floor. Tom brought his horse to a halt. He says, stay here. He says, stay here. And all of a sudden, he saw the chief come riding down the side of the canyon on a narrow path, followed by his braves. He said, Tom, what are we going to do? He said, they're going to get us now. He said, they're going to scalp us. He says, don't act frightened. Who's acting frightened? Jackie says, you sound like it. So I'm not really, I'm not. Tom says, don't look frightened and don't do anything until I tell you. He looked at Prince Ahmed. He says, where's the Palomino ponies? He says, well, they left where we left them there. He says, all right. He said, this may be a very hard bargain. All right, Tom remarked that it would be a very hard bargain. He looked at one of the men. He says, go get the Palomino ponies. Prince Ahmed grabbed him by the shoulder. He says, Tom, he says, you're not going to give. You can't. He says, I won't allow it. He says, you're going to have to trust me, Prince Ahmed. He says, we're going to have to bring the Palominos forward. He says, do you intend giving it to that savage? He says, well, I hope not. But if it's a matter of your scalp or the horses, I'd rather he took the horses. I don't understand scalp. Well, scalp means your hair with a part of your skin they take off. He let go of Tom. You mean they actually do that? They actually do that. Well, they saw the chief riding forward. Tom looked at the rest of them. He said, all of you stay here. I'll ride forward. He rode forward, and he met the chief with several of his warriors. We come in peace. He says, you come and steal Palomino ponies. Where are ponies? He says, we have the ponies. He said, but we didn't steal them. He says, you steal them. He says, no. He says, the people that you killed in the canyon, they were the shadows. They stole them. You see, they belong to Prince Ahmed. Tom waved and motioned him to come forward. Prince Ahmed came forward. He says, this is Prince Ahmed, chief. He says, the ponies belong to him. They were stolen from him. Me want ponies. Tom knew that this was getting to be very, very touchy because he looked at all the warriors and there wasn't a smile anywhere. He says, look, chief. He says, you worship the totem pole. He says, Prince Ahmed and his people worship the Palomino pony. Suppose someone came and stole your totem pole. Wouldn't you feel badly? Ah, totem pole. He says, we worship totem pole. He says, well, Prince Ahmed worships the Palomino ponies. Someone stole it from him. Wouldn't you want somebody to return your totem pole? Me want totem pole back. He says, Prince Ahmed wants horses back. He said, if you had given the shadows anything for the Palomino ponies, we will try to return it. me no make deal with shadows yet. And all of a sudden, he realized and wondered who he had slaughtered in the canyon. Tom knew it too. So you see, they not only stole the Palomino ponies, but they stole my horse, the big white one, and went through the ravine, and you were ordered to kill them. Says, you see, they were the ones that stole the Palomino ponies, including our horses. The chief shook his head. Says, big pale face, tell truth. It is so. Says, may I look, Palomino ponies. The chief rode over to the Palomino ponies that were brought up, and he rode around and around. Me pay you much for Palomino ponies. Prince Ahmed smiled. He said, I would like to. He said, I would like to give you one as a gift, but I cannot. He said, these ponies must go back with me. He says, maybe someday. He says, if at all possible, he says, I promise to send you Palomino pony. The chief smiled. He says, maybe you send me one. He says, me thank you very much. They made their last farewells and started to ride off, and the chief started to ride back to his warriors. Tom ever so often looked back because he wasn't sure whether they were going to let the Palomino's ponies go or not. But finally, when they got far enough away, Tom gave a deep sigh of relief. He says, it's all right. He says, we've made it. And all the way back to the ranch, Prince Ahmed couldn't get over how Tom knew how to track, how to make peace with the Indians, how to talk them out of taking the ponies. He says, Sheriff, he says, I've never met anyone like you. He says, I would like to consider you one of my best friends. He said, well, you're welcome to that. He says, and I may consider you one of my best friends. He says, someday, maybe you will come to my country. He says, maybe. He said, yeah, could we, Tom? He said, what do you do over there, ride camels? Oh, we have camels too, he says, but we have Palomino ponies. He says, we live on the desert in tents. Skeeter says, yeah, and maybe I could be a prince. Prince Skeeter. Jackie looked over and frowned. Oof, Prince Skeeter. He said, well, I suppose Prince Jackie. He says, well, it doesn't sound too bad. Ho, ho, ho. He says, he yourself. Finally, Tom says, neither one of you will probably go or ever get there. Prince Ahmed laughed. He says, I would like to give each of you a gift. Skeeter had his eye on this jewel in his turban. Prince Ahmed saw it. He says, Skeeter, that cannot be given away. He says, that's one of my precious jewels. He says, but someday. He says, maybe someday. He says, you too may receive a Palomino pony. He said, well, how are you going to get it here? Send it by Pony Express or something? He says, no. He says, I haven't thought that far ahead. Pretty soon they got back to the ranch. The rest of the cowhands were eager to see him. So was Nancy and all of them because they didn't know what would happen. Nancy rushed out. She said, oh, Jackie, Jackie. He says, hi, Nancy. He says, you're all right? He said, well, I have my scalp on. Oh, she said, I'm glad to see all of you back. Mrs. Miller came out wiping her hands on her apron. She says, well, we were very nervous. We didn't know what could happen to you. Prince Ahmed nodded. He says, we are very grateful to you and your hospitality. And now, Sheriff, if you don't mind, we would like to get into town and leave as soon as we can. He says, very well. He says, you're welcome to stay. He says, no, we must be on our way. So it wasn't long before Prince Ahmed, Addis and Ababa rode into town with Tom. They got on the stagecoach, tied the horses behind, and were on their way to the coast to get on a vessel to take them back home. Of course, the next few days, all everybody talked about, that is at least at Jackie's ranch, was Prince Ahmed and the Palomino ponies. Although the word, the House of the Seven Shadows, was forbidden to be mentioned again, but every night when Jackie and Skeeter would go to bed, they would discuss it, because Jackie knew there were 1, 2, 3 of the shadows that went with him, plus the little old man that had gone back to the house, and he decided that he would stay there because now his three brothers, at least, weren't coming back. And Skeeter and Jackie would discuss it. He said, "Why do you suppose that those other brothers or sisters?" He said, "There were three of them that the Indians killed, and that left four, five, six." He said, "Somewhere there must be more." Jackie says, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, I remember. I heard a story." He says, "Do you remember that old place that there was a barn that burned down near the other one?" He says, "One of the shadows was in there, they say, and he burned to death." He said, "Well, that would be one, two, three, four. That would leave only three and a sister." He says, "Yeah, I suppose so." He said, "Jackie," he said, "what if they come and seek revenge?" He says, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, they could blame us because we helped kill their brothers." "Oh," he says, "I don't know." He said, "They may be gone by now." So nothing more was said, and as the days went by, they talked less and less of the shadows. But one afternoon when things got bored, Jackie and Skeeter decided that they would go to the mountains. And Skeeter was very eager to go there because he hadn't been there for a long time. He said, "Jackie, let's go to the mountains." He said, "Take a lunch," and he said, "we can climb to the peak," and he said, "then come back." He said, "it would be a great day." He said, Tom was willing to get Skeeter out of his hair. He says, "Yeah, that's a great idea, Skeeter." Mrs. Miller says, "I'll pack the lunch." "May I go with you too, Jackie?" replied Nancy. "Yeah." "What did you say?" I said, "Well, yeah. "Oh, I don't think so, Nancy, because it's pretty hard to climb up there to that plateau where we're going to eat our lunch." He said, you better stay home." Mrs. Miller smiled and she said, "Nancy, I need you. We're going to clean the parlor today, remember?" "Yes, Mother, I remember." So they packed their lunch and they left fairly early in the morning. Tom warned as they left, "Boys, be careful," and he says, "be back by sundown." "We will, Tom." "Then have a good time." So Jackie and Skeeter started up. They went to the edge of the mountains and left their horses. And about halfway up, there was sort of a plateau where Skeeter used to go many times before. And they would eat their lunch there and explore the mountain, then come back down and go home. So they finally climbed up to the top of this plateau. Ritzy, who had been with them, of course, was around sniffing around. And they sat down and began to eat their lunch. Finally, Jackie got up and stretched. He says, "Skeeter," he says, "how far are we going to go? Should we go to the top?" And all of a sudden, he went over and sat down on a big rock. Skeeter looked at the side of the mountain, and there was a huge door, rock door, that began to open. Jackie? Jackie stood up. "What?" He said, "There's a door opening in the mountain." "Oh," he says, "come on, Skeeter." He said, "Well, it did." He said, "you weren't watching." He said, "of course I wasn't watching." He said, "a door in a mountain. Whoever heard of such a thing?" He said, "I have." He said, "Well, forget it." He said, "now let's decide." He said, "we're going to have to get home by sundown." He sat down on the rock, and the door began to open. "Jackie!" Jackie said, "now cut it out." And he got up. He says, "what's wrong with you?" He said, "the door opened in the mountain." He says, "Skeeter," he says, "no wonder Tom doesn't believe you. I don't either." He said, "how dare you, Jackie?" He said, "when I see things," he said, "that they're true." He says, "all right, show me." He said, "well," he said, I didn't make it do that." He said, "I suppose I did." Hey, you do exactly what you did." Jack said, "well, what do you mean?" He said, "do exactly what you did." He said, "well, I sat down on the rock." He said, "go sit on the rock." "I'm not going to go sit on a rock." He said, "go sit on the rock." He said, "all right, if it'll make you happy." Jackie went over and sat on the rock. He said, "Jackie, look!" Jackie jumped up and he just saw the door close in the side of the mountain. He said, Jackie, he said, "when you sit on that rock, the door opens." "Ah," he says, "you think so?" Jackie sat down. He turned around and watched, and sure enough, the door opened. And when he got up, It closed. Jackie sat down, it opened. He said, "There's a cave." He said, "Well, that's quite obvious." He said, "But how are we going to get in there and take a look?" He says, "Every time we get up, the door closes." He said, "I got it, Jackie, here." He said, "Help me with this other rock." They picked up this big rock and set it on the other rock. He said, "There, the door's open." He said, "Come on." And the two of them began to venture into the cave. He said, "You got a candle, Skeeter?" He said, "Yeah, what color?" "Never mind the color." They lit a candle and they started down. They hadn't placed the rock quite in the center, and it was practically balancing there with one little grain slipped, which threw the whole rock off balance. And the rock rolled off the other one, and the door began to close. Jackie looked, he said, "The door!" And they started to run. It was too late. The door had slammed shut. The door slammed shut because the rock that they put on this other rock, which opened the door, had slipped and rolled off. They started to push on the door and it wouldn't budge. And all of a sudden, they realized they were locked in a cave and possibly no way out. "You think there's another way out, Jackie?" "Sure, sure," he said, "sure, there's always, every story you've ever read, you said, they always find another way out, and that's what we're going to do." He wasn't sure to think they'd be trapped in this cave and no one would ever find him. Jackie said, "If we don't get home tonight, Tom will come looking, won't he?" He said, "Sure." He says, "Tom will come looking, and he'll go over there and he'll sit down on that rock and open the door just like that, won't he?" "Well, I don't know." He said, "It was by accident that we found it." The candle was flickering. Jackie decided they better explore. They started down this narrow passageway. It was damp and cool and still. And all of a sudden in the distance, Skeeter was the first one that heard it. He said, "Oh, who that?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "There must be someone or something in here." "Jackie," he said, "what is with it? A wild bear or something?" He said, "I hope it's a wild anything." He said, "At least there's a way out." He said, "If there's somebody in here, there must be another way out, or else they'll maybe open the door." He said, "Why don't I yell out?" He started to yell out. Jackie Cup, "No." He says, "We don't know who it is." "Oh, you're right, Jackie." And all of a sudden, far down at the end of the tunnel, they could see a light. He said, Jackie, does a bear carry a light?" He says, "No, bears don't carry a light." He said, "Look." He says, "Yeah, I know." He says, "Shh." He said, "Blow out the candle." I can't. Jackie blew it out. "Now be real quiet till we find out who it is." They could hear the crunching of sand as it started to come closer. And all they could see was the light, because it was a lantern with a reflector on it. And none of the light went back. All of it was shining forward, so they couldn't see who was behind it. They ran all the way to the door, began to push on it. But the light came closer and closer. Skeeter and Jackie were huddled on the floor. Jackie said, what if they find us? He says, "Just keep quiet." He says, "We'll see who it is first." Finally, when it got close enough, Skeeter and Jackie could look down and see somebody's feet. And all of a sudden, whoever it was came close enough and was shining the light right on them. The light was very high, like a tall person. And the man behind the light spoke. He says, "Master expecting you. Welcome." "Well, who are you?" And finally, when he pushed the light a little farther back, Skeeter looked up and saw this huge, big man with iron bands around his wrists made out of copper. and a bare chest and gray big feet and sandals and almost a bald head. He said, who's the master? He says, come. He says, I will show you. He says, my name is Thor.
I said, hi, Thor. He said,
Jackie says, I'm Jackie Anderson and this is Skeeter Hoyt. Yes, we know. The master is expecting you. He says, come. Skeeter says, come on, Jackie, run! Thor reached down and picked him up with one hand, stuck him under his arm. Skeeter's feet were going fast. He grabbed Jackie by the arm. It will do you no good to run. There is no place to run. Come. They walked down this long corridor into a huge room. And from that huge room in the cave, there were others. And finally, Thor went up to a big door. He hammered on it. Master! And finally, they heard a voice. Come in! He pushed the door open and brought the boys in. It was a dark room, with the exception of a lantern, also with a reflector on it. And it was shining forward, and they couldn't see who was in back. Thor says, anything else you wish, Master? He says, no, you may go, Thor. Close the door. They heard the voice. Well, this is indeed a surprise. We haven't expected to see you so soon. Who are you, anyway? Oh, he says, let's not get too hasty about this. In proper time, I will introduce myself. He said, I want you to come a little closer. They came a little closer. A little closer. Skeeter was hanging back. He says, you, the little one, a little closer. And finally, he says, I want you to watch. And all of a sudden, they saw a hand come out in front of the lantern and the light started to shine on it. It was a hand of nothing but bones. He started to run. Jackie, he said, stay here. Ah, he says, the little one is frightened. He says, come a little closer. Jackie came a little closer. Skeeter was hiding behind him. He says, the little one, come just a little bit closer. Come closer! Jackie jumped. So did Skeeter. Yes, sir! He says, now, watch closely. He says, I'm going to turn the light around. He watched these bony fingers, and all of a sudden, he flipped the light around. Jackie and Skeeter let out a terrible scream. There they saw nothing but a face that was skin and bones. He says, well, now, don't you think I'm beautiful? Yes. He says, now, you wonder who I am? I don't know. He says, they all think that the shadow was burned in the barn. No. He says, this is what it's done to me. He says, I cannot go out in the sunlight because his eyeballs were almost hanging out. Because the light would shine on them and therefore he could not go out in the sunlight. He says, you are responsible for the death of my brothers. He said, we, wasn't our fault. Thor! Thor opened the door. Yes, Master. He says, I want you to take those two to the trophy room. He said, yes, Master. He picked Skeeter up and began to carry him and grabbed Jackie by the arm. And finally, they heard a voice. Oh, by the way, boys, I didn't get your name. He says, my name is Jackie Anderson. He says, my friend is the sheriff. He says, Tom Dawson, he's going to hear about this. Oh, I'm afraid not. He said, I'm Skeeter Hoyt, and I'm just scared. He said, oh, forgive me. I forgot to introduce myself. So you see, friends of mine who know me call me the skull.
I said, how do you do, Mr. Skull?
He says, well, now I must show you to my trophy room. They went into another room. Skeeter looked around. It was filled with statues and armor, suits of armor. And on one corner they saw a bed made out of iron with spikes in it.